If you had to give a doctor one piece of advice, a critical piece of advice, before they decide to go ahead and open up that practice for the first time, what would that be?
The skill set that you developed going through medical school is not going to serve you on the business side. Being a great doctor does not give you any right to be a great business owner, period.
So maybe team up with someone that's been there and done that.
Absolutely.
The insurance model is basically free. And so if you can't build a business that you give your stuff away for free, you're already in trouble.
I would say for pillar number one is know who do you want to help, where do you want to take them, and how are you going to do that. This is why so many of those free medical practices that you're describing suffer. There is no destination. There's no outcome. The second pillar, though, I'll try to move on quickly with these next three, Charlie. That was the four-pillar system that you guys taught me in my practice. That was how I took my practice in less than 2 years from low, low six figures to over seven figures.
Okay, we have a very special guest with us today, Dr. Trevor Botts, and I say special because he's got a lot of insight. Dr. Botts was actually a client of ours, FPC, for around 4 years. I'm going to let you go into a little detail on that, Dr. Trevor, but also has been a part of the company, has been involved in high-level entrepreneurship and coaching for about 7 years. So it's going to be a great conversation. So why don't we start off, Trevor? Just give us a quick synopsis of who you are, how you came about working with us, and in the transition that took place in your practice, and the transition took place as, you know, working as part of the FPC team and coaching clients all around the United States.
Yeah. Good morning, Charlie. Thanks for having me, and happy to share any insights that I can this morning. So my short story is I'm a chiropractor by background, and very quickly into practice, I recognized that I was a better doctor than business owner, and that I really hadn't gotten any training on that side. And that was, you know, why I started looking for, you know, coaching support, business coaching and mentoring. Met you at a conference in Austin while I was still fairly new into practice. And it just clicked. It resonated that, you know, this was the business mentor that I was looking for, that you had a very successful, thriving practice that you had sold. And then you had started, you know, coaching as well. So I became one of your first clients way back. This was probably 12 years ago. And, you know, through that, I was able to transform my practice, not only, you know, help more patients and get better patient outcomes, but I was also able to create a better life for my family and for myself as well. So, you know, to say, you know, is it really possible to create a business that can not only help more people, but also help your family, give you the freedom of time, the financial freedom that you're looking for? You know, I'm just a graduate of the FPC training system. And interestingly enough, I've actually now been on the coaching side even longer than I was on the client side. And, you know, through that, entrepreneur training that I went through, I came to recognize that I actually really enjoyed diagnosing businesses and helping fix underlying problems with businesses and working directly with doctors, even more than the direct patient interaction. And that was what ultimately led me over to joining the team here. And I've now had the privilege of personally coaching hundreds of our doctors that we've worked with.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. It's been a great trip. So I appreciate you opening it up, and I want to get right into this. I want to cover a lot of information. This episode is on mindset and the transition of the practitioner, the doctor, into more the entrepreneur, because we're dealing with a business, right? And a couple of questions that really will, I want our audience to be triggered and start thinking, you know, listen to the question before you answer it. I have a feeling I know how you're going to answer these. But the first question is, if you had to pick one, great doctor or great business owner, which is more important to build a successful business practice?
Well, I think the answer should be self-evident. If your aim and your goal is to build a business, then you need to know how to build a business, plain and simple. You can always find a doctor smarter than you. You can always find a practitioner who can be in that practice helping, working with the patients. But if you are that practitioner, but you don't have the skill set to build a business, your ability to impact the world for good is going to be very, very limited by your lack of business training. In the same way that conversely, if you're the best business, you know, person in the world, but you're a terrible doctor, and you're trying to, you know, work directly with patients, well, you're probably going to suffer on that side too. So we have to recognize where our strengths and our weaknesses are, in order to then find the right help or the right training to fill in some of those gaps.
Yeah, I've always found it interesting that often I'll hear doctors feel like it's unfair that they know someone down the street or in their city that's rocking it, and they're just, they don't feel that they have near the skill set. They didn't graduate magna cum laude or summa cum laude. And so they're like, why are they so successful? It's unfair. And it's kind of like, well, look, you can cook really good cupcakes. It doesn't mean you're going to have a successful cupcake business. You could have the best cupcakes in the world, but as we look at Starbucks, I don't think anyone would tote that, wow, that's the best coffee in the world. That's why they're successful. No, it's a structured business and it's a system and it works. And so I think it's interesting that a lot of doctors get out and believe that the more letters behind the name and the more talented they are is what's going to drive the practice. Without a doubt, it's important to be an excellent practitioner. It's that you've got to get results. But it's like, I'm a pediatrician and I decide to be a cardiologist tomorrow, so I'm just going to open up shop.
I would say, Charlie, the single biggest mindset shift that I would recommend the doctor take on, if they want to really become an entrepreneur, you have to humble yourself and recognize that the skill set that you developed going through medical school is not going to serve you on the business side. You know, you went to school for years to become a doctor. You studied countless hours. You sacrificed, you know, quality of life at times to get through undergrad and medical school, complete a residency, right? You went through a ton of training to become qualified to become a doctor. But if you haven't applied a similar effort in becoming an entrepreneur, then you have no business running a business. You have no qualifications. And I would say that trying to do so is in fact reckless. And that's why, like, I count my blessings that I found you guys before I made too many mistakes in practice, because I was that foolish doctor who just hung up his shingle and said, well, because I'm a doctor, like, the patients will flow in, everything's going to work fine. And I struggled. And you know, one analogy that I think of in regards to this, Charlie, is, you know, FPC's CEO, John, is one of the brightest, smartest guys I've ever met. Incredible CEO. You know, he's started and ran multiple businesses. Imagine if he just, like, decided tomorrow, hey, I'm going to roll up my sleeves and walk into an operating room and start doing open heart surgery. And I should be able to figure it out because I'm a really smart guy. Right? I mean, that's the level of insanity that some doctors apply towards business, is thinking like, well, because I'm a smart surgeon, I should be able to be a CEO tomorrow. Right. And that just baffles me that they,
well,
that,
some of the challenge why they came about is, right, We look at what our colleagues are doing when they open a practice, and the thought process of actually having someone there, been there, done that, like in FPC, of course, you know, we'll have another episode talking about John and why he was brought on. But having that excellence in being able to understand and run a business is required to scale a business, right? But it's like, when so many doctors get into practice, if you look at the typical model that they enter into, it's the insurance model. And the insurance model is basically free. So what happens, it's and so if you can't build a business that you give your stuff away for free, you're already in trouble. Right. But once the doctor decides, you know what, I'm tired of this insurance game, the red tape, I'm tired of someone owning my practice and people, pencil pushers and the red tape and all that, I'm going to build a cash practice. Well, now you have a real business that you have to deal with. And that requires a lot of skill sets, marketing yourself, you know, becoming the category of one, standing out, and being able to have something that's of value that people are willing to pull their hard-earned money out of their pocket and invest into themselves and see that as a value. So now that whole thing falls apart, because it's like, okay, now it's much tougher to be successful. It was easy when my stuff was free. And I think we're talking to a lot of people today that are looking to escape, at least partly, the insurance model and be able to control their own life. So I think you've already answered the second question, which was basically, you know, if you had to give a doctor one piece of advice, a critical piece of advice before they decide to go ahead and open up that practice for the first time, I think you've already answered it, but can you give me one sentence? What would that be?
What got you this far is not going to get you to the next level. So being a great doctor does not give you any right to be a great business owner, period.
So maybe team up with someone who's been there, done that.
Absolutely.
All right. Not to toot my own horn, but anyway, so let's get into these questions. So we're talking about mindset, and mindset shifts, and we've already gotten into that. So some of the biggest shifts that you see, like when we're coaching clients, et cetera, when they come to us as prospects even, what's the biggest shifts that we see that are cornering them, self-sabotaging their abilities to actually move forward and have a striving practice?
I would say the single biggest factor is fear. You know, it's fear of the unknown. I've never done this before. I'm not good at this. I don't know how. But then also just a fear of their own ability to step up, right? Because starting your own practice means that you have to be willing to bet on yourself, right? You can't just be a cog in the medical machine anymore. You can't just show up, deliver your services, and collect your paycheck. So going into private practice requires a willingness to push through fear and develop courage to, you know, build that successful practice. And the interesting thing, Charlie, is the fear actually doesn't ever go away. I think I'm probably the poster child for fear in business. I was driven by a lot of fear early on into practice. And, you know, as I started working with FPC and I had guidance and coaching, I noticed that the fear was always still there. The difference, though, was that now I had courage to act and to push through that fear. And so, unfortunately, a lot of these doctors, you know, they kind of have gold handcuffs on where they're getting paid just enough to stay where they are. And because they have that fear and that apprehension of going off on their own, you know, they ultimately end up, you know, sort of becoming comfortably miserable, if you will. So being able to rise above that, develop the courage and say, this is unacceptable to stay where I am. I'm meant for more. I'm meant for better. And then be willing to burn your ships and bet on yourself. And don't burn your ships and bet on yourself alone and be a lone wolf. Find someone, right, that can coach and mentor you, you know, to ensure your success so that you make sure that you're putting your actions and your efforts in the right place.
You know, I'm actually glad that that's the point you brought up, doubt and fear. And one of the ways that I've always discussed it with individuals, whether it's a client, a doctor, my son, someone I'm mentoring, what have you, is fear in itself is necessary in life, right? I mean, but let's try to change the fear into a concern. Fear, you're kind of sitting in a place with unknown, right? So if I have fear, that can move me to prepare myself to move through a challenge. So it's like my son first getting ready to ride a bike. Well, I'm really scared. Well, you should be, right? But how about this? How about I'm there and I hold the bike? Now you just have a concern, but that's really been kind of handled that, okay, yeah, I'm scared, but I feel like I've done everything I can to be supported and go through this. And so when I hear doctors, they live in this doubt. It's like, would you live in the doubt if you had the skill sets, if you had the knowledge, if you had the knowledge that I have on building businesses, would you have that? Well, no. Well, then let's turn the fear into a concern, saying, hey, I have a concern, rightly a concern, but how do I handle that? Where's the discernment in saying a concern's necessary? Because I'd be a fool. Like you said earlier, it's kind of reckless to open up a practice. And those people maybe don't have fear, or they just balls to the wall, just go, instead of saying, well, hang on, this is a concern and it's a reasonable concern. Let's make certain that I partner with someone that's done that, been there before, so I don't have to reinvent the wheel, or so I can move forward with confidence, with courage. So
that's right.
So when you have these challenges, a lot of the doctors, a lot of the challenge that they face in going in, and like you, like when these challenges come, because you said, hey, the fear never goes. And I think what we're really trying to say is the challenges will always be there, right? Today's a new day. There's going to be challenges, but let's look at those challenges in a way of opportunities. So a lot of the doctors that we've worked with over the years, what are some of the things to help overcome some of the challenges?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say first and foremost, Charlie, is helping the client identify what I would refer to as their desert and their destination, or their, you know, their desired outcome. Because we've, you know, if we are going to make a change, we first have to come to a very clear understanding that there's a reason to change. Right. So like I was saying before about the golden handcuffs or kind of the complacency, we really need to do some soul searching and determine, am I meant for more? Am I meant for something else? And then evaluate that current desert or that current situation. And then you really have to just look in your heart and decide, is it acceptable for me to stay here, to stay where I am? Because if there's any part of you that says, you know what, maybe I can get by, you're not ready. Like you're not ever going to get out of that desert until you reach a point where you're miserable in that desert and you're like, something's got to give. This is unacceptable to stay here. That's why I like saying burn your ships, so to speak, right? And bet on yourself. So first start by identifying that, and then identify what is it that I really want and where do I want to go? What kind of vision do I have for my practice, the people that I want to help, the impact I want to have in the world? What kind of life do I want for my family, for myself, and so on? Identify that, you know, create the vision of your future. And then from there, once you have those two anchor points, now you can start to systematically look at what types of actions can I take to get out of this desert and to start moving towards that promised land or towards that destination. So that's one of the first exercises that we always do in the coaching space. And quite honestly, if we identify that that person either doesn't have a strong enough desire or vision for where they want to go, they don't have clarity on that, or if there's a part of them that still thinks maybe it's okay to stay in this desert, then they're probably not ready to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because here's the deal. Not everyone is meant to. And I think everyone can. Not everyone's meant to, or not everyone's at that place. You know, I heard on an Ed Milet podcast a while back that the majority of high level, high worth entrepreneurs actually started the process because of the desert more so than what the promised land looked like. In other words, they were in a position that they said unacceptable, and this is too painful to stay here. And that's why I started my new practice, why I started FPC, more so, believe it or not, than just, hey, where can we go? But identifying that and knowing that this comfortable is a very dangerous place to be, because comfortable always leads to deterioration. Just like if I'm comfortable with my health and I'm not kind of going, hey, I need to pick it up because I'm going to deteriorate with age, right? It's the normal change of things. If you're not moving forward, a lot of people say you're moving backwards. We're not going to just stay in this balanced place of without having stagnation and fall, right? So knowing that, getting out of this comfortable position, and then I don't know if I've always quoted Neetal Kubain, president of High Point of Staying This, but if you can show someone where they want to go, they'll move heaven and earth to get there. And a lot of people, practitioners, doctors, any business owner, in order to really build that dream, they have to know what it looks like. And I think that's just what you express. And yeah, we do that with a lot of clients. So some of the aspects of just building a base, a foundation of a practice, especially related to the health practice, what would some of those, basically those skill sets, or the simplest form of saying, hey, if you have these four keys, these five keys, whatever, what's that basic foundation that we could focus on rather than the 10 or 12, you know, entrepreneur hats that in time need to play out?
Yeah, that's a great question. Interestingly enough, the skills or the pillars, if you will, that you need to have in place in business actually also start with a similar discussion around desert and destination, meaning that if you want to start a business, the very first thing you have to identify is who do you want to help? Like, where are they stuck and where do you want to take them? And so this is, we kind of summarize that at FPC as just the idea of programs. What is the program or the vehicle that you're going to use to take people from where they are to where they want to go? The reason why it's so critical to start with that, Charlie, is because that will ultimately define what your revenue model is. That's how you make money. That is the lifeblood of the practice. So your revenue model is going to be directly tied to where you take your patients and how you deliver that service. So that's what I would say for pillar number one is know who do you want to help, where do you want to take them, and how are you going to do that? And then build a revenue model that's both scalable and profitable based off of that. So just to create a quick little side note comparison here, this is why so many of those free medical practices that you were describing suffer, right? The insurance-driven ones, is because number one, they just bring in absolutely anybody that has symptoms that'll throw their insurance card on the front desk. And then there is no destination. There's no outcome. It's simply diagnose, manage disease, treat symptoms, out the door. So right off the bat, those insurance-based medical practices, they've already failed at the first pillar. They've never identified or really set any vision or goals for their patients. They haven't created any meaningful program or delivery of service that actually delivers that destination or outcome, which means they don't have a viable business. They have no revenue model. The second area I would say...
I'm going to pause real quick on that.
Yeah.
You made a really point. I don't want this to escape. So they don't have a viable model because there is no destination. In other words, we're back into managed care, so to speak. I'm not saying there's not a place for it, but again, you're trying to set yourself apart as a from a commodity doctor. And we're trying to help identify what is it that why is a patient complaining about a $30 copay? Well, why wouldn't they? It's supposed to be free. And when it's not, and they don't see the value because there's no change, there's management, no change. You've missed out on a very important part of this journey of having a practice that's hugely successful because people are changing. There's a different outcome. They're becoming. And when they become, they're noticed and their friends want to know and they refer. And the exchange of value now, money, becomes a priceless opportunity rather than an expense.
That's right. Patients will invest in what they value. And I think, you know, you and FPC have proven this out now almost 1,000 times at this point, that when you deliver an outcome or a destination, that's the kind of thing that people will commit to, that they'll get excited for, that they'll have hope for, versus that insurance-driven practice. And I agree with you, there is a place for urgent care. There's a place to manage disease and symptoms. Some people need that in the beginning. But don't be surprised if they don't value it for very long when they come to recognize that really all they're getting from that relationship in that business is managing my symptoms. And for most people, that's not worth very much. So the second pillar, though, I'll try to move on quickly with these next three, Charlie. The second one is your ability to get your message out to the market. It's what we call promotion. So if you know the outcome that you want to deliver and the way that you're going to do that, now you're going to go out into your community and you're going to find the people who are suffering with the thing that you know that you can help fix. And so this really is about finding how you're going to communicate with the general community to let them know who you are, what you do, and the problems that you can help solve. But the critical piece that I want to mention here around promotion is it is important to avoid the typical trap of trying to sell from your advertising. That's what commodity businesses do. Instead, what we recommend is that you use promotion and advertising to drive all of those interested leads into the third pillar, which is pre-education. So pre-education is teaching that prospective customer, client, patient about their desert and their destination. It's about becoming a teacher. You know, the Latin root for doctor is teacher. And we believe that we need to bring that back, that doctors should be teaching the community about the truth of, you know, your health, your condition, the reason you're suffering and struggling. Through that pre-education process, we are able to create the ideal client who starts to see that hope for where they really can go. And then you bring them in and sit them down for what we call a practice member evaluation so that you can continue that pre-education process, interview them, explore their challenges, concerns, and their goals, and then ultimately make a decision. Can I help you? And are you ready to be helped, right? And that's what really resets the relationship to be one of partnership and co-laboring between doctor and patient, rather than that old relationship of you're the doctor, I'm the patient, here's my insurance card, fix me, right? So by following those four pillars, each one just seamlessly leads into the next one. And now we've created a great relationship with that prospective patient, and we're able to then move them into the programs that we've designed. And so it just creates this cycle, Charlie, where we can rinse and repeat. And that was the four pillar system that you guys taught me in my practice. That was how I took my practice in less than 2 years. I took my practice from low six figures to over seven figures, simply by focusing on and mastering those four pillars and then repeating that cycle. And remember at the beginning when I mentioned programs, they need to be both profitable and scalable. That's why I was able to do it, was because I knew that I had started with a core concept that could be scaled as I continued to build out my team, increase my ad spend, and so on. I wasn't limited by my schedule, by my time, by a fee-for-service model. I was able to scale basically 10x in less than 2 years.
So there's a real pearl here I'm going to bring out. I just wrote my third or fourth book. Patients need you to sell. For doctors who want to help, not hustle. The biggest challenge that I hear with a lot of doctors is, well, I don't want to promote myself. That's tacky. I don't want to sell. That's tacky. I think what you just expressed is the truth of the matter is you need to teach. So it's not about selling. It's about helping. It's about if you don't learn to communicate the value of someone's life, the one person sitting in front of you, and that they're worthy of taking care of themselves, and what you have can actually change that and put them on a trajectory that's going to allow them to live a thriving life and become super dad, super mom, what have you. Well, that's just going back to what you said, the root word of doctor, and that's to teach. And so getting into the community and teaching them the truth about health and wellness and actionable steps they can take, rather than just waiting patiently as a patient. That's why I don't like to call them patients. Waiting, I'm a patient, and I'm going to wait till I have a disease process, and then there's something from pharmacopoeia that's going to dampen those symptoms. Well, that's why people don't find a lot of worth in that, and that curtain's been exposed over the last, you know, several months and so over a few years. And so instead of having this pushback, well, I don't want to sell. Well, the truth would be matter, if you have the cure to cancer and you don't want to sell, it's pretty selfish, right? You better explore the opportunity of effective communication and let people know, hey, there's another option for you over here that can support you on this path. And when we do it right and we pre-educate, like you said, what you're doing is you're not selling your stuff. You're offering a priceless opportunity. And if you didn't have that priceless opportunity, they wouldn't have the ability to have hope.
And I think that's where a lot of doctors still struggle, Charlie, is that they recognize the limitation of the system that they're currently in. And, you know, if they were to look in the mirror, they might say, you know, I don't think I would even buy my own services. Right. And so they're dissatisfied with the way that their practice is running. Their patients aren't super happy with it either. So, you know, just consider that
I'll go further than that. Are they healthy themselves?
Yeah.
Are they living the healthy lifestyle, and then wonder, why is my message not getting across? Well, it's not congruent when you're telling someone that they need to get the blood sugar down and they need to change the diet and XYZ, and it's apparent that your self-care is not evident, right?
Yeah, that reminds me, Charlie, you know, one of the coaches on our team, she built a multi-million dollar practice with a cardiologist that she partnered with, and she doesn't have any credentials herself, no letters after her name. And she said something that's always stuck with me. And she said, you know what, though, for all of you doctors and so on, you know, look at what I'm doing, right, in my practice. The most important credentials that you could ever put after your name is the way that you live your life, right? It's you being the product that you're selling, you being the destination.
Yeah. Well, you remember, I don't know if I need to say his name here. Jimmy Barker, he's out in Tampa. He came to us as basically a personal trainer. We work with people that want to to help people, and personal trainers can do that. It's not just doctors, right? In fact, it's not uncommon to have people invest $1,000 a month on their personal trainer, but complain about a $30 copay. And well, that's not fair. That personal trainer doesn't have all the knowledge. The personal trainer has the skill set to help empower someone to get their life back. That's priceless. But Jimmy's got three practices last I knew of that he's the owner, he's the entrepreneur, that are dealing with men's health in Tampa. And that's a perfect example. He was a very healthy individual that really enjoyed men's health and went into that, and he hired the doctors. And that goes back to the initial question, who's going to be more successful right off the bat in a business, an entrepreneur or a doctor? Well, the doctor. The entrepreneur. So the doctor will have to become the entrepreneur, or you'll have someone like Jimmy Barker that's an entrepreneur running the offices, right?
Well, and like you said, Charlie, for some doctors, maybe that is the appropriate place for them. If they don't feel like they're ready to really step into that position and become the entrepreneur, if they just want to be the doctor, then maybe they should look for a Jimmy Barker.
So we talked about promotion a little bit earlier, and I'm gonna hold to that for just a little bit, because a lot of the fears, right, the concerns of going into practice. If I do my own deal, if I do my own gig, where are my patients, where are my clients going to come from? And you're right. If you don't have clients, you could be the best doctor in the world. It doesn't matter. So it's you have to have the competence and to support and help people reach their destination. But if you don't have anyone coming in the door, well, we're dead, right? And then once they come in the door, we have the structures and the systems, but all that comes secondhand to making certain that we have these clientele, especially if we decide to get away from insurance and we don't have them referring these people to us. By the way, what doctors don't understand is insurance companies take 40% of what you bill. They take that. I call that an acquisition cost, right? So in a business, if you're unaware of this, there's an acquisition cost in any business to get a new client, a patron, a patient. There's always that cost. And when you can get that cost down, you can be very successful, but it has to be, you know, a certain rate. Many businesses have 20, 30, 40% acquisition costs, which was very, very high. We have closer to a 10%, which is extremely, extremely effective. But what doctors don't understand is, well, I don't pay for marketing. Well, where are your patients coming from? Well, they're coming from the insurance companies. Are they paying you 100% of what you bill? No, they're paying me 50%. Well, they charged you a 50% acquisition. So if this patient, you generated $5,000 in billing and they paid you $2,500, you paid them $2,500 to acquire that new patient. And when they look at it that way, they're like, oh, it's not for free. Nothing's for free. And that's why insurance practices have such poor net profits. So why don't you talk a little bit about, again, we started stepping into marketing. How do we alleviate some of those fears?
So some of the fears around promotion and advertising?
Yeah. How do I get my new clients?
Well, I would say the first thing is to, unless you have a strong desire to become the marketing specialist in your practice, don't do it yourself, right? Part of being a successful entrepreneur is also recognizing, you know, what should I be learning and doing myself that's the most valuable use of my time? And then what are the things that I should be hiring, training, delegating, or simply contracting out? And so the vast majority of, you know, FPC clients, they don't choose to focus their time and attention around becoming a marketing expert. They just pay someone to drive those leads and to do that. And so In the same way that, you know, you might expect a patient to look to you as the expert to guide and direct them on their health rather than them going to school to become a medical doctor and do it all themselves. Well, you can do the same thing when you strategically hire and contract for someone who knows how to do it better than you do. And so promotion and marketing oftentimes isn't the best use of your time as an entrepreneur. It's better to contract that, let them take your message, promote it, fill your funnel with leads. What you need to focus on is then mastering the art of communication and influence, right? Because the marketer can't tell your story for you. They can't teach for you. That's what you as the doctor need to do. So the way to alleviate that fear, Charlie, is to trust the process, that there are others out there that can do this better than you, and then trust the coaching to learn how to pre-educate, how to take those patients on that learning journey of exploring desert and destination. If you learn to influence and move an audience, you've won your freedom. And so just that recognition and understanding, if I can learn to influence people, that's it. I've won the entire game. I think that can alleviate a lot of that fear when you start realizing like, oh, maybe I don't have to do a million different things. I can contract a lot of this, and then I just need to focus on what's going to be the most valuable thing for my practice, which is going to be the art of influence.
Absolutely. And since you touched on this here, there are a lot of things today, especially marketing, that's become very complex with social media platforms and what kind of ad. Is this allowed? Is this not allowed? Is it supposed to be a portrait style, or, I mean, all those things. And then those ads have to go to landing pages. Someone's got to build a landing page, and someone's got to do the copy. And then we need the pre-education, the education videos, et cetera, to set someone up into this new pathway to where they're starting to realize they have different options, et cetera. And that is part of that journey to where someone will come to the point of going, why wouldn't I work with you? You're going to help me get to become super dad, super mom. But yes, I need you as that guide. And so that's the whole essence of it. But what I'm getting to here, that's a very complex deal. That's almost a full-time deal to be a, do you want to become an entrepreneur? Great. You can't become a professional marketer and an entrepreneur at the same time. They're that complex. Like, I can't be an engineer and a doctor at the same time. They're too complex. So, and again, not to get into it, but we have marketing partners that we work with our clients. So they don't have to go vet them out. We've already done that. But let's talk about this place of delegation. I always like doctors to understand, hey, it's great to be the cook in the kitchen. It's great to be able to cook up the cordon bleu chef meals, right? It's great to be the doc. But what happens if I want to scale my business? What happens, Trevor, if I want to spend a couple of weeks in Cabo or Belize? How expensive is the vacation if my practice isn't generating income while I'm gone? And what does this say about the state of delegation, and how should one go about that?
Yeah, I think this speaks volumes to a lot of the small private practices where you've got one doctor and then they have maybe, you know, a wellness assistant, a medical assistant, and they feel tied. They feel tied down to the practice because the business really is dependent upon them. And so, like you said, if they want to take even a couple of days off, revenue tanks because every single dollar or just about is directly tied to them. And so I'm speaking to the doctor owner right now, right? So for that doctor owner who does in fact want to be able to move into more of an owner position and less of a doctor position, then they are going to have to make some decisions as far as, you know, yes, I love treating patients. I love seeing them and so on. But am I willing to sacrifice all of my time towards, you know, doing just that? If that's the case, then they're not in a position to be the business owner. But if they are willing to train and delegate so that they can move into more of that owner position, then they do have some opportunities to do that. Typically, what we recommend, Charlie, as far as like, well, where do I start, is to, you know, look at everything that you're currently doing within the practice and start with the activities that you recognize that take up the most amount of your time. They generate the least amount of revenue, and they can be most easily delegated. So this, and then trained and so on. So this would be like, for example, the doctor who's still answering their own phones, right? Or the doctor who's still, you know, ordering all of their own supplements or things of that nature. Well, those are activities that someone else could be doing that's not a valuable use of your time. So you might start by finally buckling down and hiring, you know, that part-time assistant. And, you know, some doctors may say, oh, well, but that assistant's going to cost me $2,000 to $3,000 a month. I can't afford that. Well, that may be true for the doctor who's going to immediately fill up their time with more busy work, more charting, more clinical training, and so on, right? Then yes, that $2,000 to $3,000 a month becomes an expense to them. But if they have a smart game plan in place, well, the time that they would save by hiring that assistant, if that could allow them to generate an additional $15,000 in revenue, that's no longer an expense, that's an investment. And so that's where you start, is you start by delegating and training out those things that take up the most time, generate the least revenue, and can be most easily trained and delegated to somebody else. And then you, as the owner and practitioner, once you've started to get some of those hats off and some of those responsibilities off, then you eventually reach the point where you're basically only wearing two hats now. You're wearing the hat of owner or CEO and the hat of doctor. And then at that point, once your revenue's up, you're stable, you've got a strong foundation, then you can make that ever critical decision around, am I ready to hire another practitioner to come in and take that hat so that I don't have to be the full-time doctor. Now I at least have the option of scaling back my hours with direct patient care so that if you do decide to take that two-week vacation, well, you have a practitioner in place now. You at least have the option of stepping back. And so I think a lot of doctors maybe get worried that by becoming a business owner, it means they don't get to be the doctor anymore. But the opposite is true, is that once you do truly become the business owner, you now have the option of wearing any hat in the business that you actually want to. And that's a great place to be, is to know I can see patients if I want to, or I can go take this vacation and the business will continue running without me.
Yeah. And critically speaking, if you want a business that doesn't have weak links, but you say, hey, if I get hit by the ice cream truck tomorrow, what would happen to my practice? If it's bad news, you're the weak link, right? So whether you want to move away from seeing patients or not, you must have a business system that allows that to take place. And I always tell people, look, at any given day, like in my practice, I got to the point where I was working a 3-day work week, taking off 90 days a year, traveling the world. I had a practitioner. I wasn't the one that saw the patients. I was the introductory person, right? I did the initial consult, but that allowed that practice to thrive. It allowed my team to know they had a job tomorrow, even if something happened to me, and it enabled me to see patients. It allowed my patients to know that my system is what they bought into. It was how the practice was developed, what their opportunities were in the wellness realm, et cetera, et cetera. So in time, if you truly want your freedom, the delegation is important. It's critical. And I always let doctors know, just like when you're saying, even initially you might have to wear those hats, but in time, start considering, hey, what am I worth? The value of exchange. I need to get that value up to $400 an hour, $500 an hour, $900 an hour. And so if I'm doing a job right now that someone could do for 20, that's inefficiency. Your margins are going to go down. And then you have to question, why am I still working 50 hours a week? Because you're not putting your $500 an hour in, you're putting $20 here. And so delegation is something that is a huge part of it, but that's the part of freedom. We're getting close to run out of time. And so what I'd like to really, you know, one of the things I'd say, if someone's really, let's say, hey, I'm already in practice, but this is resonating with me. I get it. I'm still kind of chained to this deal. I got a glorified job rather than a business working for me. Or, hey, I'm thinking about taking this step. This step into the promised land that I know I'm going to go have to fight the giants, and I'm a little scared. What are some of the first things that you should move forward with? Like, what's your checklist? Hey, how am I going to get this thing straightened out?
So I would say step number one, Charlie, would be to just start meeting with business coaches. There are a lot of options out there. Freedom Practice Coaching certainly isn't the only one. I think they've, you know, you guys have developed enough of a reputation at this point over 12 years, you know, to be a top option. But start meeting with business coaches and let them interview you. Let them ask the right questions to help guide you through this process. Because any coach who's worth their salt, before they start offering any kind of strategy or any types of options, they're going to seek to spend the time to understand your vision. If they haven't helped you get really clear on your desert and on your destination, then they aren't really offering coaching or strategies. They're probably offering a shiny toy or what they would call a turnkey solution. And those I consider sort of red flags, because in the world of entrepreneurship, there are no quick fixes, right? There is no shortcut to this. There's only proven systems and strategies. So meet with a coach and pay attention to the questions that they're asking you. Pay attention to the level of clarity that you start to gain, or more confusion that you start to feel from having that conversation. But if it clicks and if it resonates with you and makes sense, then that's probably a pretty good sign that you've found the right coach or mentor to help guide you through this. What I would certainly not recommend doing is going up and just, you know, buying the books, signing up for courses, you know, doing the lone wolf, you know, type of an approach. That never would have worked for you in medical school. So why on earth would you think it's going to work in business? You know, save yourself the headache of having to make all those mistakes yourself, having to reinvent the wheel. You know, avoid the pitfalls by finding someone who's already been where you want to go and has a proven structure and system in place that they can help you do the same.
I always talk about opportunity costs. And if you're not familiar with this word and you have your own business, you need to be familiar with it. And it's just like, you know, the opportunity cost of the patient that comes to you, that's 50 pounds overweight, diabetic, on statins, on, you know, who knows what, sex life is down in the tubes, not having kind of, you know, the vitality that they want, not playing with their kids as much. The opportunity costs that they're leaving, that each and every day, they never get back. The opportunity cost of feeling like getting on the tennis court with your kid. The opportunity cost of feeling confident, you know, going on dates with your wife, feeling like you're well kept. You know, the confidence of the bedroom, the confidence of just living life and enjoying it. There's an opportunity cost that's real. Just because nothing was taken from you, you didn't get to live it, right? And there's an opportunity cost in business. And I see businesses all the time, and they come and to me and I'll say, do you want to hear the bad news or the good news first? Well, what's the bad news? Well, you're actually putting about $100,000 in a bag every month and burning it up, because that's what you should be bringing into your business according to the number of people you have coming in. It's your systems, your structure. And so instead of looking at an expense to get the right support, and again, we're not the coach for everyone, but find the coach. It's pennies on the return of investment when you can work with someone that's been there and done that and says, do you want to have this kind of a business? So before you go, I would even say, really determine what your life looks like, not just your business. We always tell people, build your life first. Tell me what life looks like. Yes, how is the business? What kind of business? What kind of wealth does it deliver? What kind of impact with those that you work with? But tell me about who you become. Who are you with your health? Tell me about your marriage. What's the excellence in that? 3 years from now, what does that marriage look like? Where are you traveling? Your bucket list. What kind of relationships with your kids? Spiritual. Paint that picture. Take that to the coach and say, that's what I want. Because you have to build a business around the destination, not the other way around. That'll determine the model and everything else. So, Trevor, this has been super insightful. I really appreciate it. And I know that we're going to be having some more conversations, but hopefully this kind of lit the mind up on a lot of our listeners right now on the possibilities. And not only that, open them up to, hey, that's why I'm not where I'm at. That's why. So know that challenges are opportunities. Know that if someone's showing you that you're doing things wrong, that's a beautiful thing, because now you can fix it, rather than someone saying, no, I think it's just the economy. Yeah, that's just the way the world is today, which is total BS, right? We can live in that cop-out world, or we can say, well, no, someone down the street's doing really well. I think I'm going to team up with people that live in abundance and can see the opportunities and challenges rather than this. So outside of that, appreciate you coming on, Trevor. You've been great for the FPC team, and your story and your message certainly influences a lot of people. So appreciate you being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Guys, thank you so much for being here on this opportunity. Continue to listen in. We're going to have a lot of good stuff coming your way to help support you, help support those who trust in you, help support your family, and help you live that extraordinary life. Take care. One last thing, guys, if you could do us a favor, just leave us comments. We want to know what your struggles, what your trials, as Dr. Trevor said, what's up with your fears? Let us help, because we'll put information, we'll get the information out to you to support you on these. So either in comments, or you can go to marketing@freedompracticecoaching.com. Let us know how we can help. Let us know if this is enjoyable. And if it's helpful as it is, we're here to support you.